FBI Studio. This is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Roth. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Truth and Justice. All right. All summer, you guys were tired of hearing interviews. But for the last 2 months, you've heard nothing but me talk. For some of you, you're going to love this. Some of you, maybe not so much. But as we're continuing on our investigation now into Robert and Christian, into how the case was built against Robert and Christian, the most logical next step for us is to play Christian's second interview. So as you guys know, Christian was interviewed first on September 28th, 2006. In this interview, which occurs on January 9th of 2007, so just short of 4 months later, you get to hear LeClaire come back and ask some questions of Christian, ask him to take a polygraph. Christian's dad steps in. There's a lot going on in this interview. Most of the breakdown we'll do next week. But it's not going to sound too unfamiliar to you the way that LeClaire and the tactics LeClaire uses to try to get Christian to take a polygraph. It's the same thing we heard when he was trying to get Javier to take a polygraph. Now, the interview, the audio as far as the voices is pretty good, but the interview does take place outside, so occasionally you have a car come by here and there, and sometimes LeClaire himself kind of, he's either muffled, mumbling, or just kind of far away from his microphone. It's listenable, you can hear it, but just to let you know, there are some of those audio issues, and I know that some of you that are from overseas, other countries, English is not your first language, or at least our dialect here in the United States. So I will have the transcript for this interview posted on our website if you'd rather just read that or if you want to follow along. But I think it's worth hearing the interview when we have the audio and it's good enough where you can hear the tone of people's voices, the inflections, things like that. I think it's worth giving it a listen. So we're going to take a short break here and then we'll get right into Christian's second interview. This is season 12, episode 43, Christian's second interview.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that he did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
That's great.
That's a big dog, huh?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't like
dogs. So you have
hey, puppies? Yeah, I guess so.
Hey, puppies.
Hey.
You're pretty.
Just want to talk to you a little bit about our previous conversation.
Yeah.
Just asking a few more questions. Nothing's really changed, but...
Nothing, huh? Nothing at all?
Well, I want to say nothing at all, but... is there some place we could get out of here or the dog isn't going to be a factor? Or?
Yeah, I guess my mom wanted me to, right, because they bark and she works inside and stuff like that. So.
Well, I mean, you want the dogs to hang out here and we can stay on the other side of the gate?
They're fine inside.
Okay. Anyways, this is Rick Sims.
Oh, yeah, I haven't met you at all.
How are you doing?
Mr.
Sims.
Sims, okay. And LeClaire.
And I'm Gary LeClaire.
Okay.
And this is Christian. The last time I spoke to you was Scott Michaels and I.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Anyways, okay. This is what we're dealing with. Last time we talked to you, you kind of gave us a story about you and Robert and Becky right. And everything that you knew and this and that. We're still looking into what happened with Becky and her family, and we're trying to make sure everyone's story basically makes sense. And we need to eliminate everybody suspect, right?
Right.
You said you were involved. Robert said he was involved.
Right.
Kind of little people said they were involved. But what it is our job to eliminate people, and we do that based on their stories, evidence and other things. So a few things come up with what you said and Robert said, and everyone has a perception, and I want to make sure I understand your side of that story.
Okay.
I know it's been 4 months, September.
Is that right?
Happened in September. I don't know if we talked to you at the end of September or the beginning of October.
I have no idea.
Okay, so it's been a few months. I mean, you remember,
it's probably going to be a lot more vague than, you know, previously.
Okay. Well, let me just bring you up to speed and get to the meat and potatoes of this thing so we're not wasting anyone's time. You told me that you and Robert worked together on, let's see, your last day at Knott's Soap City was Sunday. You know, you guys got in trouble for going down the slide?
Yeah. It was either Sunday or Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that day you guys got in trouble for going down the slide. You guys left work about 6 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Sounds about right. That's when we get off work.
Okay. So what do you remember you guys doing after you left work?
Okay. I remember I went home to grab, you know, stuff. Like, I came home to eat, stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure I remember grabbing, I remember coming home to eat, and then I was going to go over to Robert's house because we were going to go to church because he's going to go to the Sunday night church. And then we were on our way to church, and then it turned out we couldn't go to church because it was already over, and he thought it started at, 7. But I guess it started at, 6. So it was already over. Then we came back over to my dad's house. Then we were watching TV. And then we went out to go shoot some paintball. My friend Sam gave me a paintball gun.
Right.
And then to go...
Going back a little bit further, when you came home from work,
right,
did you drive from work to home by yourself?
From work to home by myself, yes.
Okay. You have a car? Okay, is that the car you had back in September?
It was either that one or my dad's other Acura. He just let me drive either of them because my Oldsmobile was in the shop.
Okay. So do you remember?
Oh, it's still in the shop.
Do you remember what car you were driving on that day? Was that Oldsmobile or?
Oh no, my Oldsmobile's been in the shop for a while.
Well, it's been a while, remember?
Yeah, no, it's been in the shop since June.
Okay. So you're driving. I think you said you're driving your dad's car.
Yeah. Well, this is, and the other one is my dad's car.
Okay. So when you drove home after work, and then when you left home, you said you're going to church or something, how did you get wherever you went?
How did I get?
You came home, and then you and Robert met up.
Oh, I probably would have, to Robert's house, it would have either been Gate Palm down to Ramon. And then right on the ball. It could have been that.
Where's he living?
He lives on Chappelle. Chappelle off the ball. No. It's Chappelle off the ball, then Peacock Circle. You take a right on.
In Rancho Moran?
Yeah, it's in Rancho Moran.
You know where it is?
I have a good idea.
So you drove from your house to his house by yourself?
By myself.
Okay. And then when you got to Robert's house, then what happened next?
As far as what happened when I got to his house or when we left?
When you left his house.
Because we left in... Okay, we left, and exactly like what streets we took?
No, where did you guys go?
We were going down Highway 11 to this church. I think it's called... I don't know exactly. It's Saint something. And then he called. He's like, oh, is there still church? Because his mom really liked him to go to church and stuff. So he's like, oh, is there still a church going on? I was like, oh no, it passed like an hour ago.
Did you get to the church?
No, we never ended up at the church.
How far did you get?
Probably not too far down Highway 11. And then we were like, oh, well, what the hell are we gonna do now? And I was like, well, why don't we just go over to my dad's house?
If I told you the name of the church, would you remember it?
I think St. Teresa's is the one across from Mary Pickford. And so I can't remember exactly the other one.
I thought you told me it was Sacred Heart.
Sacred. Okay, that's right.
Okay.
I thought it was Catholic Church, saints thing. Right. You know, I'm not Catholic.
I understand. And I'm not trying to confuse you, because I know you told me something that you remembered when it happened.
Right.
And now, obviously, you've been alive since then. So I'm just helping to bring back some of this memory. What I'm getting at is you left Robert's house in Rancho Mirage, and you're gone to Sacred Heart in Palm Desert?
Yeah.
Do you even know where it's at?
He was saying it was like somewhere around Highway 11.
Okay. So you don't know where it's at?
I've never gone to that church with him. I've gone to a Catholic church with him, you know, a couple of times. But I think that was the one in Mary Pickford St. Teresa's.
Does he usually go to a church?
He goes to church like every Sunday. I mean, like, it's a really big deal for his family. Like, if he misses church in the morning, he usually goes at night. Like, a lot of times we don't even hang out Sundays because he'll be like, oh, I'm going to church, and da da da. And I'll be like, well, I don't want to go to church. But
why does he go to church so much?
Well, his family's really religious. I mean, like, if you talk to his mom, he'd probably understand more than I would.
But what about Robert? Is he religious?
I mean, he's religious.
Well, you don't like that because he missed church.
He missed church because we were at work that day in the morning, so he wanted to make it up at night.
I mean, normally it works. So if you went to church every weekend and he was so dedicated to church and trying to figure out why he didn't know what kind of church it was, I mean, he usually works for some church, right?
Well, in that time frame, like, sometimes he wasn't going to work. But, I mean, his mom and him get, like, things confused a lot all the time and stuff like that. So, I mean, but at that time he wasn't working at Soap City so much. He was usually hanging out with his cousin. I know his cousin was down at that time.
Okay, so going back to you left his house and going to church, do you remember how far down the road you got? Yeah, give me a business or a street that you got near.
I'm not really that familiar with, like, the streets on Highway 11. Maybe we got, like, to, I'm guessing maybe, like, that place called, like, Lord Fletcher's or something. Maybe somewhere around there. You know that place on Highway 11? Mm-hmm.
It's the one in Rancho Mirage?
Is it in Rancho Mirage? I think you maybe got somewhere around there or something like that.
That's a restaurant?
Is it? I just remember driving back and forth and seeing that.
Yeah, Lord Fletcher.
So maybe we got somewhere around there.
Is that near, like, the Olive Garden or something?
No, it's west of the Olive Garden.
Like, this way. Like, near the crossing?
It's before you get to the car wash. Elephant Car Wash?
Right before that?
Yeah.
It's like on the right.
Okay.
If you're driving that way.
So, what did you guys do once you got there? Where did you guys go?
We were somewhere around there, and we just turned around because he was calling. He's like, oh, is there still church?
So, that's pretty close to the river. That's the one.
I don't know if we were that close to the river by the time we turned around.
Okay, so you don't think you made it all the way over to the river?
No, I don't even think we even made it that far.
Hello?
Okay.
So when you guys turned around, did you guys come to stay here?
We didn't come to this house, we came to my dad's house.
Okay. And you thought about the one right here on?
Yeah, right over there.
Do you remember what street you got here on? Like, did you come down 111 or Bob Hope, Monterey?
We might have came down all the way down Day Palm. Like, turned around on Highway 11, came all the way down Day Palm. Taking a left and then came down the street.
And you said somebody was calling someone on his phone or something? The church or something, trying to find out what time it was?
Yeah.
And were you guys driving when you were doing that, or were you at the house?
I'm pretty sure we were driving, and that's why we turned around. I mean, because if we found out at the house, we wouldn't have drove that way in the first place.
So when you got back to the house, your dad's house, any idea what time it was?
I mean, I'm guessing it could have been around 7:30, somewhere in there.
Now, you said something about you guys went paintballing after?
Well, we got there and they were, like, just hanging out watching TV. Yeah. And then, like, I was like, hey, you know, Sam gave us that new paintball gun, remember? And we were going to try it out, and why don't we go try it out? Because we took it out, like, a week before, and it was totally, like, jamming and stuff like that. And I wasn't about to go, like, shoot in my dad's backyard, you know, mess up his, I mean, it's not even my house. So I'm like, why don't we just go out in the desert, you know, like, right by Camp Gorkin, like I said. And then we took it out there just to shoot it. And it was jamming anyways. It's still jamming. I still haven't fixed it to this day.
When you left your house and went paintballing, did you guys go anywhere between the school, James Wortman, and your house? Did you guys have any other stops between them, two places?
Just there to James Wortman? No, just...
Isn't right James there. Wortman up it's, there off of...
Let's go straight down. Let's go straight down, it's on your left.
So it's like a couple minutes?
Yeah, like 4 or 5 minutes. And then we were there messing around with a paintball gun for a while.
That's how long?
Maybe like 20, 30 minutes. I mean, it could have been give or take. And, I mean, but we were hanging out at my house, I don't know, for an hour and a half, or maybe even longer than that. I mean, yes, it's got to be somewhere around there.
So after you left the paintball, where did you guys go?
Well, Robert's like, oh, I got to go home, my dad. He's like, oh, I got to go home, you know. And so I took him home, and then we stopped at a gas station. He bought chapstick.
How you doing, sir?
How you doing?
Hi. All right. Back again. I got to know what's going on with him.
Oh, well, come on up. I had to stop by your house.
This
how
is
you doing? I'm Rick Sims.
Hi, okay. John Smith. This is Jeff. How are you?
Good, John.
Because this has had me.
That's what I understand.
Concerned.
Well, we actually tried to stop by your house earlier before we came here and to talk to you to kind of let you know.
Did he knock on the door?
Well, we didn't go in the gate, so I know you had those dogs and we honked the horn and I tried to.
I heard the horn honking out there.
Helping someone look out the window. So, I can get a hold of you, please. To come over here.
Right.
Basically, what we're doing is we're still investigating the matter, and we're trying to pinpoint some things. Christian had told us some things when we were first talking, and I want to make sure I understand everything, kind of exactly how he said it.
Know anything. I don't care what it is. I can handle it. I'll deal with it. And you're going to have to deal with it. But if you know anything, you
yeah,
tell
I
it.
Know, Dad. I know.
Because I got enough on my plate right now.
That's it. I mean, I can... All right, well, he's asking me about my story right now. Let's check this out. You still hang out with Father?
Yeah.
Has Robert told you anything about what he told us or what I asked him? Has he told you anything about all of that?
No, not, I mean, like, he's said, like, oh, they called me in and we talked once. And he said, like, oh, they wanted me to take a polygraph, but he was like, oh, well, my mom doesn't want me to take it. Stuff like that, and then yeah, I know we're just talking about a lawyer and stuff.
You guys
like
need
that.
Me for anything?
How you doing?
I gotta go pick up that other check.
Okay.
Do you need me for anything?
No,
okay.
I don't think so. We'll be out here shortly.
Okay.
Alright.
I'll talk to you later, Tom.
Alright. Is that your mom?
Yeah, that's my
mom.
Yeah.
So he said, so why don't his mom let him take a party now?
I don't know.
Did you ask him?
I never.
Did you ask him why he went to the party now?
He said it was just his mom thought it was a bad idea, and plus his mom wanted to have a lawyer present. That was that whole big deal. And, you know,
so why didn't they say, okay, we have a lawyer and we'll go to the party now?
I mean, it's honestly been like so long that we just forgot about it. And you know, it's not something we talk about on a daily basis.
I mean, it seems pretty important. And I don't know what else you guys have going on in your life that you would not be serious on why and just kind of dismiss it as in Brazil. It doesn't seem to, the police don't come in your life every day. I don't think they come in Robert's life every day.
Yes.
I want to know if Robert's being too cool with me. That's all I want to know. Have he used you as an alibi? Okay. And when I talk to you, you kind of mentioned that you and Robert talk before you talk to us. You know, to make sure you're sure of this thing. And I'm curious why that was necessary.
Well, we never talked before we talked to you guys. I mean, you said...
You talked to Robert after you talked to Robert before he talked to you.
Well, yeah.
And...
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you be like, hey, frickin', some detective just came over?
Exactly, and then they talk to you, so whatever. But I find it odd that, Robert, if you guys would go over the story together, the truth doesn't change, right?
But yeah, the truth doesn't
change. I'm asking you, why did you guys go over your story?
Well, it's just important that we have the same story, because,
okay.
I mean, human accounts can just be a story by memory either way.
Yeah.
So, like, the only real thing that you guys have is the facts, and that's why me and Robert would talk about something like that, so you guys have the closest amount of facts that you can possibly have.
And you know what? That's not necessarily wrong. You know, if you guys want to get your story straight just to make sure you guys have the truth, that's not a problem. I don't mind that. And that's why I'm here again, to make sure I don't understand a few things, and I could assume what you meant, but it doesn't help the case.
Yes.
So I come up here and ask you based on what you're trying to say as well. And that's kind of where we're at right now, John.
The problem is, didn't you just tell me that Robert said that they thought that the father had done that?
Well, I didn't say Robert said that. I was going to actually tell you that when we were done with the whole, like, run through story. Because I was at a party, and then someone who knew Becky told me. His name's Chad. I don't know his last name. He lives somewhere around here. And he was like, oh, you know what I heard? You know, like, I heard the father, stepfather did it, and then didn't tell him. And I was like, oh, okay. That's the only thing I've ever heard. But that was like 2 months ago I heard that.
All right. Well, I've heard many stories also. But I haven't heard any story that fits the fact. So, did you ask Robert why he just didn't take a polygraph and get done with it?
Well, he just said that the lawyer and mom thought it was a bad idea.
Did he say why?
Never said why.
Did you ask him why?
And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't remember if I asked him why or not.
Well, I know you're not Robert's keeper, and I don't care about Robert's decision because you're Christian and Robert's Robert. But these are common conversations kids have with each other. And one thing I want, and I wanted to ask your dad before I ask you, because I know you're an adult and you're 18, right? But, you know, I figured more responsible talking with your dad first, and you guys can talk it over at the phone. I wanted you to take a polygraph to make sure they're telling me the truth and not something Robert asked you to say.
Okay.
What do you guys think about that?
I think it's something that him and I would sit down and discuss. I have certain reservations about it, because I've taken about 35 to 40 polygraphs. When I was in Las Vegas and I worked in the casinos as a boss.
Okay.
And
have you taken any in the last 5 years?
No.
Okay.
No.
Let me explain this, because the whole polygraph scientific field has changed real recently. And I'll give you a legal ramifications, okay, and then you can go verify this information. A polygraph isn't admissible in court.
I understand.
Okay. So, anything you say on the polygraph test we can't go in court and say this is what happened. We utilize the polygraph for a real simple technique. To say, you know what, Christian has told me a story, and we don't know Christian, so we either have to believe him or not believe him. You know? We take him to a polygraph, we ask him a couple of questions, he passes the polygraph, we believe him, and we totally excluded him and the story. Okay? And your story would exclude Project, so based on what you're telling me. If you didn't pass it, well then we would find out why are you not passing? You know, are you lying about something that you're involved in? That's a whole other issue. And it's totally voluntary because you can walk up and leave at any time. So that's kind of...
Here's the thing. When I was asked, as I said, they used to just pop polygraphs on us all the time, whether we were stealing from the casino, you know, embezzling money, using narcotics. I've been clean and sober 21 years, and all of a sudden, no, I haven't used narcotics in the past year. Came up that I had lost my job, and I hadn't in 6 years. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know as far as, I know I wasn't, and yet something triggered something inside me where this examiner said, well, you lied on this, and they gave me all the questions first, you know, they give you all the, like, preliminary questions, the test questions.
That's the preliminary.
Okay, and then that came up. Yes, I did, and I didn't, and as I said, I was clean and sober about 5.5 years, whether I used narcotics within the past 5 years. No, I didn't. No, no, no. The examiner came in with a report. I was called into the casino manager's office and was terminated on this spot.
Yeah.
That's the reservation I have, and it's something that I would like to discuss.
Yeah, well.
Other than that, I don't have a problem. I want to, believe me, this has been on my mind since you came to see me the first time, and I've asked Christian about it, and I just told him, I said, if you know anything, it never goes away. Murder never goes away. It's there forever until they find somebody and convict somebody. And I told you that. They'll investigate it 20 years from now. Somebody will go back on it if they don't have it. It just never goes away.
Hey, John, can I get your home number? Because the number I have for you is different. Is this a home number?
That's my cell number. I don't have a landline.
Okay, the cell
got
number?
Got rid of it. $75 a month. It's gone.
Everybody got cell phone.
Anyways, I'll give you my card again, and you guys can talk about it. Get back
I'll
with
call
me.
You.
Because what I'll have to do is we make an appointment in San Bernardino, and the appointment would be like a week down the line, so the sooner we know, the sooner we can make an appointment.
Okay.
And I'll be straight with you. Really, I would like to get this done to eliminate the two boys so I could concentrate my resources elsewhere. You know, that's the bottom line.
Okay.
You know, to eliminate people.
My, when you said that, and, you know, I want to be honest with you. I want him to be honest with you. The last time I asked, he was a suspect, and you said no. He's a suspect.
No.
He is not a suspect.
No.
You and I have to sit down and talk about this. This is serious shit.
All right.
Okay.
Cool.
Fine.
The cell phone. You have a cell phone, right?
Yeah, I gave you the number.
What's the service provider? You know, like Sprint, Stimler?
Verizon.
Are you guys on like the same plan or something?
He's on my plan.
Okay.
It's under my name.
Alright.
I mean, if you talk to Robert, you know, and, you know, Robert decides he wants to take a polygraph to put his name, tell him to call me. Robert's kind of taking the stance of...
Oh, I remember
that. I'll give you my card again. Robert's family is taking the stance that, you know, I'm not sure what they said to you because he didn't want to take the poly and they didn't want to listen. They really didn't want to talk to me. And I never had the opportunity to explain to his mom the situation, you know?
Okay.
So I think they're missing out because obviously, you know, Robert's young and he may not understand anything. That's why I'd like to talk to the parents so they can guide their child a little bit better than their child can guide themselves. You had your cell phone that night, right?
Yeah, I had mine.
Okay. Another way to verify stories is by people's cell phone, you know, cell phone cell sites. And one thing that I could do is we could look at your cell site to look at your cell phone records because they have a cell site records on there and they'll indicate where you were at during that time frame.
Okay.
And that also corroborates. Because ultimately we want to corroborate your story. You corroborate your story tells us that it's the truth. Not corroborating it, all we can do is flip the coin and let you know. Try to figure out if you're telling the truth or being honest. You know, it's just people are lying to me all the time. And it's difficult to tell when people are lying. And I appreciate you bluffing, Nick. I mean, that shows honesty there. You know, I'm curious why, you know, Robert's not stopped cooperating. You know, I'm hoping that you're not lying to Robert, you know, because that's not a good thing. That's not going to help you out. But ultimately, like your dad said, you know, you're definitely responsible. Ultimately, I think we'll probably find that out. It takes time. I mean, look how much time's passed and, you know, talk to you. And you know how many people I talked to between you and today? A lot, you know.
I have no idea.
So, obviously, I haven't been sitting out here taking the place out, okay?
Using the cell phone records, I'll pull them off of the internet if you want that.
Well,
give me a time frame.
The only problem is,
you can have them.
The only problem is I need to get them from the phone company because they have the cell site location.
Oh.
Your records just going to have telephone calls on.
Yeah.
You may be able to give me your consent for that, if you choose to do that, and then I could send the consent to the phone records, the phone company. The other option is to obtain it through a court order.
Yes.
If you want to give me your consent, I can have you sign a consent form. That would be another way of collaborating with them. But if it's your dad's phone, then obviously your dad would have the obligation to give consent. You want to do that? You want to give us consent for that?
I have no problem with that.
John, if Christian's being stern with us, then, you know, everything is good.
I know. I'm just,
It's just our job to...
I know.
It's our job to eliminate...
I'm upset that he's even involved in there, even knowing... The whole thing.
Well, we've both been doing it for a long time. Kristen appears to be telling the truth. There's just some things that we need to just verify, and that's the bottom line. And then we can move on.
Some things that come up that look suspicious, but just because they're suspicious doesn't mean they're not reasonable. Like you said, you and Robert talked about what you go and tell the cops. Well, that looks suspicious. But then again, sometimes people do that. You know what I mean? From what you told me, you guys were, you went here to Robert's house, a few streets back, and came here, so there would be no reason for your cell phone records to link you to Palm Desert, the northern side of Palm Desert, or Bon Pinion Pines, or anything like that. And if it did, well then, we would need an answer why. You know, did you go to a friend's house up there? I mean, did you go anywhere up in Pinion Pines?
No.
What's the place up on Highway 74 that, you know where Bighorn is? Up on, you know where Highway 74 is, past 111?
Yeah, I know where it is.
As you're driving up the hill?
I didn't know there was a golf course up there.
Okay. You know the area I'm talking about?
Well, I know the road that goes up to 74. I mean, I've gone up 74 before.
Up to, like, Pinion Pines and...
Well, I've never gone to, like, Pinion... I went to a campsite, like, an hour up into, like, 74.
Okay.
We were with my girlfriend a while back.
So...
Have
you been up to Vista Point? You know where Vista Point is, up 74?
Well, isn't it, like, you have to go past it to actually get up in the mountains? Vista Point, that, like, place where all the kids hang out and stuff like that?
Yeah, park and...
Yeah, I know that.
Down on Palm Desert.
You guys went up there or anything?
No.
Okay. So, I can do that. Where we were at when we got locked up. But I think you were just saying about you think playing paint, the paintball and...
We went to a gas station. And then, I think I got gas. I don't remember if I got gas or not. I know Robert bought chapstick. And
why did he buy chapstick? Do you remember? Did he buy
I get chapstick all the time. I could have told him. I mean, I don't remember exactly. I could have told him to buy it from me. So here, running by some chapstick. Or it could have been maybe for his cousin.
What did he do with his cousin? Why wasn't his cousin hanging out with you guys that day?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. All right. Do you have anything else with you?
Yeah, I just had a couple quick questions. One, you said you got a little trouble that day and you guys didn't even work. Did you leave it? Are you sure you left on time or did you get off
well,
the road?
Well, it was at the end of the day.
Did it happen anyway?
Yeah.
So you got off at regular time?
No, 6 o'clock? It wouldn't be like exactly 6 o'clock because, I mean, that's when the park closes.
Okay.
So, and like then they had to fill out paperwork to say we're suspended and stuff, so it'd probably be around like 6:30.
So you think you were that late?
Yep, probably around that time. Yeah, that's the logical, you know, thing. It'd probably be around there.
Okay, and then one other thing, and you might have got a little confused on it. You said when you guys were heading over to the church, I thought you said Robert talked to his mom. She's the one that told him.
No, he called the church.
Oh, he actually called the church?
He actually
okay.
called the church.
Okay, because I thought you said he talked to his mom.
No.
His mom said that the service was already over.
No, he called the church.
He actually called the church.
Yeah, he called the church.
You know, I'm not worried about times and all that, because I know it's been a long time, and we all remember what time you went to the bathroom last week. But just to remember, you know, things you did, and Robert remembers things you did, and that's all we want to collaborate. You know, basically collaborate things, and then see being honest. If there's anything you're not being honest about, even if you think it's real minor, you know, like you went to, you know, girlfriend's house, and maybe your girlfriend don't know about it, you know, want anyone to know, that might be something we need to know, because then that makes the lie look, okay, well, you're lying about going to your girlfriend's house, that's not important, but you think it's not important, you don't say anything, so that's kind of says everything else. You know what I mean? So things like that let us know. Okay?
Okay.
Did you
go with your mother, Mike? You came home with your
no, it was a girl. After I got out of.
Which one?
Yeah.
The one that's going out now.
Oh, okay. All right.
But didn't you say you came home then? And your mom was there?
Yeah.
Oh, your mom was here before you went
before
out?
It left.
Okay.
And you guys were paintballing? Did you guys use your phones or anything? Did you guys have your phones with you?
I'm pretty sure we had them on us. I don't know if we used them or not. I can't remember.
I mean, if you guys went out there paintballing tonight, and you guys, would you bring your cell phones?
Well, yeah.
If not, would you
turn
them off?
No. I don't.
I mean, make him carry it all the time.
I mean, maybe like I was, you know, like, I think we were hanging out. Robert might have turned his off or something like that.
Okay. Why, why would he turn it off if he did? Why would you say that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Robert about that. I can really wouldn't know.
But, I mean, you said maybe he was turning it off.
I'm just saying maybe he did. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, I'll get the party games on. You can call me when you guys talk about the party game.
Okay.
There's a form for the Verizon Wireless. Basically, it says you're giving a telephone authorization to release the records to me. The records would include the dates from September 10th to September 20th. And this kind of happened on the 17th, so I just kind of gave you 2 days before and 2 days after, in case there's any confusion on the same company's part. And the records will include subscriber information, which means that's going to include who owns the phone, the cell site activity, and the call detail records. And that's what you see on your phone bill, is the phone call you made to whoever on this time, and thanks for this number. So that would include your phone, which is a different number, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have three phones on that.
Okay. And this is your phone, Chris?
Yep.
Okay. Is there only one phone for that number? There are not two phones with the same number?
Oh, no.
There is about another 10 minutes to this audio recording, but it's, number one, it's not Christian anymore, and the audio quality is absolutely terrible, so... As you heard here at the conclusion of the portion that I played for you, LeClaire's getting information about the cell phone accounts for John and Christian, their Verizon information. And what was happening there, if you didn't catch it, is he's asking them if they'll sign a form agreeing to let Verizon give them their cell phone data so they don't have to get a court order for it. So that's what they were doing there. So all that I've caught off here, there's more of that conversation. Then LeClaire and his partner go outside. Christian's dad, John, follows them outside. They talk a little bit more. LeClaire talks more about the polygraph. And John asks him again if he thinks that Christian's a suspect. And LeClaire, as you heard in the interview, repeats again that no, Christian is not a suspect. But he does say something interesting. John asks LeClaire what precisely his interest or he thinks Christian's involvement in this is. And he says, do you think that he's like covering for Robert or something? And LeClaire says, yes. He says, I'm wondering if Christian wasn't actually with Robert that night. So that gives you an idea if he's being honest about where LeClaire's head was. And again, all of that, I think that part's still included in the transcript. The entire transcript's up on our website. Thanks for listening. And then we're going to talk all about this, answer your questions, and break it down on Friday. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Wondery. Edited by Kelly Barron's Brink and sound engineered by Shane Yoder. All music for the show was created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com, who also mixed and mastered this episode. All of our fonts across all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design, and you can find more of Tate's work on Etsy. Thank you to Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website, TruthAndJusticePod.com. where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. And a big thank you to our transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Kaywood Yomnick, Ginger Fiola, Erica Cantor, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Ford, Courtney Wimberly, and Melissa Cardenas. And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. If you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can do so in several ways. To financially support the show, the best thing you can do is just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You'll not only be supporting the show, but you'll get something in return. On Patreon, you can pledge as little as $3 a month, and we have reward levels. For just $5 a month, you get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes and behind-the-scenes bonus video content every week. Then other reward levels include t-shirts, hats, and even the opportunity to co-host one of our Friday follow-up episodes. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You can also do us a huge favor by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And lastly, you can always support us by supporting the brands that sponsor this program. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider for future seasons, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is to engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page on Facebook. For all you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod. And I can be found personally on all forms of social media @BobRuffTruth. And don't forget that we always have our 24/7 voicemail line open for questions, comments, or tips on our cases. That phone number is 269-224-2833. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.